I want you to turn with me, please, to a text of Scripture found in John's Gospel in chapter 1. John's Gospel in chapter 1, and I'm just going to read a couple of verses together, please, from John's Gospel chapter 1. And Catherine, I've changed the closing hymn, if you don't mind. Amen. 339, just as I am, O Lamb of God, I come. Number 339, if that's all right. Let's read together these few verses, please. I just want to pass on a thought as I was listening to Sammy as he was sharing his testimony. And I'm going to pass on that thought and an experience I had just this past fortnight as I was visiting the hospital. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 29 and 30. Can I also say that we have a very special member of the church, and with us tonight, wee Emmy Bates is here somewhere. And that little baby, we're just looking at her, so small, and yet just 3 months on this earth, and 3 months premature, and how God brought her through. And so, Emmy, you're very welcome here, wherever you are, and that's recorded. Also, to remind you that on Friday night, we have Ruth St. John, who will be ministering in song in the evening meeting on Friday evening as well, as our brother Michael Ross Watson. Right, let's read together these couple of verses of John's Gospel, chapter 1. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the said said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Amen. And we trust that the Lord will bless that reading of his word to our hearts. I want to center my thoughts, just a few thoughts for a few moments, on that most famous and well-known of texts in John chapter 1 and verse 29, where it says, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Quite often we get many, many requests from different individuals, sometimes through the internet, sometimes via text or phone call or message through someone who comes to the church, someone belonging to us or is in hospital, someone wants you to visit them. About a fortnight ago, I was asked to go into the hospital to see a lady, and it said that the pastor of the church, or the pastoral care of the hospital, had said that she's a member of your church. Well, I didn't recognize the name. I couldn't identify it. I hadn't heard of her before. She wasn't on any of my lists or my visiting lists. In fact, there's many of you here probably not on any of my lists because you've never given us your name. If you would, that'd be lovely if we had it. But so I looked and searched and couldn't find her name. But however, I went in to see who this lady was and find out why she said that she was belonging to Abbot's Cross. I'm not going to tell you her name. It would be unkind and unfair to her. But when I got into the hospital and I saw her, I got speaking to her, and she said, I said, now you're down from the pastoral care of this hospital as having, being a member of this church. Well, she says, I used to come. I says, right. Whenever Sammy Workman was the minister of the church. Right. I says, were you a member? No, I just came occasionally. Right? And I says, you put down Abbot's Cross as your church. Well, I've never gone anywhere else. And she started to tell me her experience. 84 years of age. She'd been brought in with a serious heart complaint. I think it was a heart attack. And she saw that as she was going through this dark tunnel, she saw that she was coming towards her end, and they were putting an oxygen mask on her face. And she thought she was clocking out of this life, and she needed a pastor to visit her. And I said, what did you do about it? She said, nothing. Well, I says, you've called for me. Would you like me to do anything with you? No, can I pray with you? Can I show you the need of getting, can I point to Christ? Oh, she says, there's plenty of time. But I said, hold on a wee minute. You said to me that you were brought in and you're passing out of this life. You go into a darkness and you could see that you were not going to heaven. And then you've called for the pastor of Abbot's Cross Church for to come and give you pastoral care. How can I give you pastoral care? What am I going to say? That you've got another 10 years? I was unsuccessful in my efforts in seeking to bring that woman to faith in Jesus Christ. I have since visited her in her home. She doesn't live very far away. And I will continue to visit her. But it reminds me of this text. You can have apparitions. You can see dreams. You can have dreams. You can see the most unusual events in life. You can see near-death experiences. But unless you see the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, all of these other things are going to count for nothing. You've heard and seen what alcohol can do to an individual. You can see what the Lord can do for a young man who asks the Lord to give him something that he could show God's power through his life, and he gives him the ability to play the piano. And there are people in this service who are not saved. And you've seen and you've heard both sides of the argument here. You've seen a man who made a mess of his life through alcohol and alcohol abuse. And you've seen another individual who has given his life, and a young man, to serve the Lord. But seeing all of those things hasn't changed or persuaded you. And you can see and hear of individuals who've been changed and not change you. I say again, the only thing that's going to make any difference of a spiritual nature in your life is if you see the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I love how John puts it. He's a Lamb of God. That brings us back into the Old Testament. Brings us away back to that day whenever God had said to the children of Israel that the death angel was going to pass over Egypt, and that they were to take a lamb and to take his blood and put it in the doorpost and the lintels of their home, never to put it in the threshold because there's no trampling on the foot the blood of the covenant. They had to do what God said, but that was God's lamb, not man's lamb. And that lamb gave its life and gave its life's blood. Have you seen, have you understood, have you comprehended God sent his lamb? Have you seen the sufferings of the lamb? Have you seen the surrender of the lamb? Have you seen the sufficiency of the lamb? Perhaps there are those who are alcoholics in this meeting, and you've tried to dry up, you've tried all kinds of devices and counseling and medication, and you've tried to do something about your alcoholism, but there's only one who can enable you to break you free from the power of alcohol. Amen. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you seen the sufficiency of the lamb? Have you seen the sovereignty of the lamb? Behold the Lamb of God. That's a personal thing. It's individual. It's not enough that these men, it's not enough that the pastor, it's not enough the people in the church sees him. But have you seen him? That's an important vision, isn't it? It's the difference between life and death. It's the difference between dying in your sin and dying in Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. I wonder, would you behold him tonight? The one who makes a difference. The one who changes lives. The one who gave his life a ransom for many. Have you seen that he's the only remedy for your sin? He's the only answer to sin's problem? As many as the soul and their hearts breaking tonight. I'm interested here, as I look at this passage, John was a cousin, well, a half-cousin, if you like, of the Lord Jesus. He knew the prophecy that the Lamb would be coming, that Jesus was a Lamb, and yet it took a revelation in the wilderness as he was seeking the Lord. It took a revelation by God to show him who Jesus was and would be. And it's going to take the same for you tonight. Can I say, as we bring this service to a close, would you behold the Lamb of God? As I said, that woman who was next door to death and isn't much further on at this moment in time, She saw herself going out of this life through a dark tunnel, and she said, these are her words, she said, I knew I was going to hell. Does that sober you? Does that sober you? I've never met someone who felt they were going out of this life and into hell, and who was as clear as she was, and yet did nothing about it. That goes to show you the power of Satan over your life, and the power of darkness. And only the power of God and the light of the Lamb and the power of the Lamb can set you free. And if you would take him tonight, he will set you free. He will set you free. He will. He will. One of my greatest and most encouraging experiences was in a mission that Esther and I had in Coch. This wee woman has had a few slips, but I tell you what, it's only a couple of years ago when I called and led her back to Christ again. In fact, it was only last year. And there she was sitting in a meeting we had in the wee portable hall in Coch, and her life was absolutely ruined with alcohol. Absolutely ruined. She was drunk in the meeting, she was drunk at night, she was drunk when she got up in the morning. Some of you here know her. She asked for Esther and I to go and see her. Right after a meeting, we went to see her. But we could smell the alcohol, we could see she was under the influence, and we assessed God couldn't save her in that condition, so we weren't willing to pray with her. And she said these words, if you're not willing to pray with me, I'm going to pray myself. And she dropped down on her knees in the sitting room where she was. And I can tell you, I saw the power. Listen, look at me when I say this. Will you look at me now when I say this? Esther and I saw the power of God at work before us in a soul as she knelt down on the floor. We saw it. I would be telling lies not to tell you that. And I was a good, stiff-lipped Presbyterian who was working for the Faith Mission then. So I wasn't one of these hyper-Pentecostals that we so like to disdain at times. We saw the power of God lift a soul out of the depths and depravity of sin and out of the bondage and the habit of alcohol. And we saw God change a life. And 2 days later, we went to the child. 3 days later, I went to that child, that woman's home. And she invited me for tea, and we were talking about the way forward for her. And the children all thanked me. And here's what they said. We've got a new mommy.
Hallelujah.
We've got a new mommy. And through different circumstances, about 20 years later, she fell back into sin and back into alcohol. Obviously didn't keep listening and following. And just there last year, you know, Paul Irwin that comes to sing here, he took a deep interest in her soul. Paul lives in Enniskillen, and she lives in Coch. Paul phoned me one day, will you go and see her? See Lorraine. I said, I will. When I got to see Lorraine, I just knelt in the room with her. She was ripe for the plucking again. Led her back to the one who loved her with an everlasting love. She went back to the minister that night and said, I want to become a member again. I want to come back into fellowship. And I want to start taking communion again. And as far as I know, is walking with the Lord. That's the power of God, friends. That's the power of God. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your power. And thank you for your grace. And thank you for your glory. Thank you, Lord, there's not one soul in this meeting, but God could meet and deal with and help and deliver. We thank you for the Lamb of God that dealt with the powers of Satan and darkness and the stain of sin. And though God, in this meeting, we believe you're working in hearts. Lord, this meeting hasn't been arranged by men. We know that. This is your meeting, Lord. You want to meet with souls in this gathering. We pray, Father, that they'll open their hearts just now. Is there anyone in this gathering when we're all about in God's presence and you say, I want to know the power of God to deliver me? Is there anyone? Would you raise your right hand up in the air that I can see it and we'll come and pray with you? If there is, raise your right hand. And I'm not saying I've got the power of that I can do it for you, but I know one that can. Raise your right hand up into the air and we'll be willing to go and pray with you. If not, we'll sing our closing meeting. So, Father, you know those who are here and you know who have a need. And we commit them to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.